glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. I don't know who gets the word to take it down. So.
Before I get into my burden tonight that I've had on my heart for several days, close to probably 2 weeks now, I think it will tie in especially with this morning's message and maybe tie in a little bit with last night. But I want to talk to us about grief. I want to stir you up a little bit. And the reason I want to do that is because we're at the holiday time. If I understood the brother's request for his wife, it's holidays, it's grief, it's pain. I come back from my daughter's wedding the end of September of 2013. And I was out riding on my mower and mowing and getting it all finished up. I was looking at the next few months ahead. And I thought, I'm going to wing this real good. I think I'm over the bulk of this grief. And I'm just going to kind of sail right on through for the first year. And that didn't happen, folks. I got down close to the holidays, and that thing set in on me. And I'm going to tell you the best way I can tell you what I suffered for hours at a time. And that was, it was like I was nauseated physically. But it didn't throw up. You ever been there? Yeah, you have. Some of you have. Well, this was in grief. There was an inside pain in me that nagged on me for hours and hours. Working, shopping, whatever. Go down the aisles, you see Christmas stuff, you see holiday stuff and all this. And that just eat on me for hours. Now, you may think that this business of grief gets over in 1 year. I want to tell you, don't get over 1 year. I heard a couple of ladies speak that lost their companions, and there's several of us together, and they made the statement and said, my second year was harder than my first. So you may think, I don't need to call them, I don't need to send them no cards, I don't need to invite them over, I don't need to go visit them, but I want to encourage you to do that. You've got a sister over there that's was married to Brother Purvis for many years, and he's gone now. And this is the holiday time. I want to encourage you to call her, visit her, do something. Send her a card. Do something to encourage her. To let her know, listen, folks, the greatest thing you can do is climb in the bucket with them and say, I love you and I'm here with you, and give them a hug. Let them know that you're right there, you're praying for them. Let them know that you may not understand what I understand or what Sister Chris understands. But I got news for you. If you let them know that you love them and you're there for them, that'll help them. And I know people probably don't like to hear this kind of stuff, but let me tell you something. When the Lord gave me a burden and told me this was part of my ministry, I can sit and pray for people I don't even know and cry that's in grief, that their companions have been killed or their children's been killed. In that one shooting in that Texas church that morning, there was 8 family members killed in 1 family. Now you talk about tough, that'd be tough. So I want to encourage you to bless the grieving, to encourage them, to help them in some way. Now you may say, I'm a young person, I can't do anything. Yeah, you can. I got cards from young folks. Becky got them when she was sick and I got them later, and they were a blessing to me. I got a card from a child, 3 or 4 years old, couldn't even write good. Mama had to help her, I guess she did anyway. And she sent me at least 2 cards. That was a great blessing to me. And then one night my phone rang. And I looked down and it was her dad's name on my deal. So I thought, well, I'm going to get to talk to Brother So-and-so. And I answered the phone and he said, my little daughter won't speak to you, Brother Carl. And she wanted me to know that she loved me and she was praying for me. A little child shall lead them. You can do your part, folks, no matter what your age is. Go for it. Help them. Be a blessing to those that's in grief. It's the hardest thing I have ever gone through in my life, and it continues to be tough after nearly 5 years. It's still not easy. You got part one, so to speak, and you get over that, and get through that, get healed over that. Mine was under a year on that part, but then I deal with loneliness every day, 7 days a week. That empty house, that empty car, that empty chapel, those empty miles up and down that road, it gets a little tough sometimes. So I want to encourage you to help the bereaved. I want to beg you to help the bereaved. Because, folks, when you go through it, you'll understand. You'll understand it's no piece of cake. You'll understand how painful it is. All right, we desire your prayers as we look into something tonight. Now let's go to Ezra, the first chapter. Ezra, the first chapter. I want to read a little bit here in 2 Chronicles 36, which is just barely above that. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also into writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he had charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and the Levites, and all them whose spirit God had raised up to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, gold, and goods, with beasts, with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. And in 2 Chronicles here, in the 36th chapter, 21st verse, and basically the same reading said, Fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and to put also into writing, saying, Thus saith King Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath given the Lord God of hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord is God. Be with him and let him go up. Are you stirred up for the Lord tonight? Little David, when he went out and met the king or the giant, or when really he was defying everything and doing his thing, little David, he made a statement. Is there a cause? I want you to know tonight, is there a cause still yet in the earth today? Is there a cause that you and I need to be stirred up for God? That we need to be doing the things that God would have us to be? Some people want to pass it off, put it down, throw it under the table and so forth. But there's still a cause for God. And that cause is going to go to the very end of time. That is a cause for God, for salvation, sanctification. It's a cause to help people out, encourage them, bless them, and work with them. It's something for you and I to do for God. And I'm not going to just preach tonight about being a preacher, teacher, whatever. I'm going to broaden this thing out. But the bottom line is tonight, there's a cause. And he said here that the Lord stirred me up. The king, he stirred me up. I want to tell you Jews, you can go build your house now. The 70 years is up and it's time for you to go to work. Listen folks, tonight, there's a cause in the land. Are you helping in that cause? Are you doing what you can do for that cause tonight? It's a serious cause. There's a government, there's a national, state, local, but the bottom line is the greatest work that can be done, the greatest thing that you and I can be involved with and help with, the greatest life we can live is a life of living for God, is doing what God would want us to do, be involved in the cause, the right cause, the cause that has helped people down through the years to amount to people going to heaven, to being blessed. Brother Michael talking about deathbed repentance. Brother Sammons one time was in a tent meeting up in South Dakota on the Indian reservation there. He preached 30 times in 10 days. One day he got an invite or a call, whatever you want to call it. By a man said, I got somebody that's on his dying bed. He wants you to come. And brother said, all right. Brother Sammons went over there. And they counseled and they talked and they prayed and he gave him scripture and so forth. And a man got down the bottom line. He wanted to get saved. He wanted to live for God. He was facing eternity, folks. He was fixing to go out and step out into the great beyond. Listen, on the other side is God. You and I are going to meet God when we step out on that side. We can't run from Him. We can't hide from Him. We're going to step out and that belongs to Him. And you and I are going to do everything He tells us to do. And the first thing is going to be bow. The first thing is going to be confess. So anyway, Brother Sammons worked with that man, and that man got saved. In less than 24 hours, he died and went out into eternity. Brother Sammons felt like he made it. Listen, folks, today, don't wait for deathbed repentance. I'm not saying it don't work. I'm in agreement with what you're saying wholeheartedly. But the bottom line is you and I know better. You and I that are here tonight have heard the gospel for years and years and years. Some of us have been in meeting after meeting after meeting, service after service after service. Listen, folks, when we get down, you and I need to be starting now. Now is the day of salvation. We don't want to wait till later. We want to do what God would have us to do right now. Now is the day of salvation. Cyrus said here, the Lord has stirred me up. I want to ask you tonight, are you stirred? To stir means to excite, to raise, to put into motion, to incite, to action, to instigate, to prompt. Listen, the Lord wants to stir people up. He wants to stir them to action. He wants to get them to doing things for Him. Listen, a man that owns a company that's a sales company, that man wants to get people stirred up. He wants to stir them to where they'll go out and they'll sell. And he don't want them to do it just for 24 hours. He wants them to do it day after day after day after day. Listen, this living for God, it's not one day on Sunday and one day on Wednesday. It's 7 days a week, praise God. It's 7 days a week of you and I living a life and giving fruit and doing the things that the preacher preached this morning to help people to see that there's a life of salvation out there. Praise God. Something better. A lot of people tonight, they want something and it's our duty to give it to them. Tonight, are you stirred up for God? Are you stirred up? Has God been working with you and talking to you and dealing with you? Oh, tonight let's go to Acts the 9th chapter. Acts the 9th chapter, talking about Saul here. And Saul, 9:1 of the good book of Acts, said, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slander against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to pick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. Now tonight, Saul was a bad man. He claimed to be a religious man, but the bottom line, he was a fanatic, so to speak, on the wrong side of the fence. And he was doing the saints some harm. And God knew that if he could get this man that had the zeal that Saul had, could get him and get him turned in the right direction, he'd have somebody that'd be a blessing to a lot of people. So he went after him. He began to stir him up. He began to deal with him and call him and talk to him. I don't know of any type of dealing like this any time since then. This is one of the greatest conversions, so to speak, that a person could have. But the bottom line is this. You and I still get dealt with by God. We still get stirred with. We still come a place. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Listen, folks, are you kicking against the pricks tonight? Are you kicking against the things, the stirrings, the workings, down in the night, down the day, on the job, in the home, riding in the car? Are you stirring against that? Pushing back against what is God trying to do? He's calling you. He's working with you. He's stirring you. Listen, folks, when He's stirring, we need to move to action, praise God. Whatever it might be, we need to move to the place that God is stirring us up. That king, he was there. God stirred him to action, praise God. Let my people go. Let them go back and build the church. Let them go to the building, the temple. Let them go do what needs to be done. Listen, folks, tonight, you and I, as we're stirred by the Spirit, we need to move to that stirring. We don't need to kick against the pricks. And old Paul was kicking, or Saul was kicking against the pricks. But the Lord didn't quit, did He? Now most of the time, the Lord don't quit. But there's no guarantee of that. There has been people that stepped across the line. Brother Egbert Allen, some of you know him, some of you don't. I worked with him. He was in an old school building. God had been stirring him and working with him off and on for a good while. And he was there in an old schoolhouse, an old revival going on. The Lord was blessed in the revival. And the Lord again was dealing with Brother Egbert. And he was kicking against the pricks. He wouldn't move. And the Lord spoke to him and said, This is your last call, child. This is your last call. Brother Egbert made a move. And he's glad he did. There's people that has come to the place that the Lord's told them, This is your last call. Listen, folks. Mama told me that she knew of a man up in her area that he didn't make the move. And he walked past that. And God cut him off. And he begged people. He pled with people in tears. He'd get up and meet him and said, Don't do like I did. I'm going to hell. Because he kicked against the pricks one time too many. He stopped the stirring. He wouldn't do what God was wanting him to do. I'm going to beg you tonight. If the Lord is stirring you to salvation, I want to beg you, it's time to move. It's time to do what God would have you to do. Now, sisters are valuable. Wives, I'm talking about now. Well, sisters are a term, but I'm talking about the wives, mothers. Husbands, I want to give you a little advice. Take them home, put your arms around and tell them how much you love them and appreciate them. Because if you lose them, you wish you could do that. You wish you could say thank you for some of the things that they did. But anyway, sisters, if you took and got all the ingredients together to make a meatloaf and got it all out there and then didn't do anything with it, would it help anybody? If you took and was going to make a chocolate cake and you got all the ingredients out there but you never stirred nothing up, you never put anything together, you never put it in the oven and cooked it and just left it there, what good would it be? You didn't stir, see? The Lord's stirring but you and I are not moving. The Lord's working, but a lot of people are not doing what God's wanting them to do. They're not moving out. Listen tonight. If you take that meatloaf and you do all the stirring, put everything together like it ought to be, put it in, pat it, and put it and all that, and I don't know much about that stuff, put it in a pan, put it in the oven, and cook it, and bring it out, and serve it, what happens? It blesses people. Listen, folks, if Saul had never become Paul, if Saul had never gotten saved, where would you and I be tonight? There'd be a lot less in the book about the good things that he done, about God, about the workings of the Spirit. Listen tonight, Paul was a great blessing because God stirred him up and he moved to the stir, praise God. If you and I don't move to the stir, we can't be the blessing we can be otherwise. We need to be a blessing. We need to be what was preached this morning. We need to take and bear fruit that people can get a hold of and they can eat and they can enjoy. Praise God. Oh, tonight people are kicking against the pricks. Kicking against the stirrings of the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you, God wants you to move to the stirrings. Move to the workings of the Spirit of God. Because if you don't, folks, it'll be your doom and hell is your end. But there's people has done that all down through the years. There's thousands of them right now kicking against the pricks. There's thousands that's pushing against the stirrings of God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get saved. I don't want to live for God. And God's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Oh, tonight, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, folks, tonight, God is calling and stirring. He no doubt has stirred people before this meeting ever started. Come unto me, I want to bless you. Come unto me, I want to save you. Come unto me, I want to sanctify and do whatever you need tonight. The Lord is talking and calling, stirring and working. But are you moving to the dictates of that stirring? Are you allowing God? If Saul had not have done that, listen, folks, we would be missing a lot of grand things out of the Bible. Oh, tonight, you may not be a preacher, and I'm not here to preach that you got to preach. That's not my burden tonight. My burden is to move to the stirrings. Saul moved to that. And he done what the Lord wanted him to do. You say, yeah, but the Lord's not dealt with me that way. The bottom line is, if he deals with you, move. He don't care how he does it. You know, Brother Ivan has quite an experience that he tells. But he told me, he said, I'm a little scared to tell that in preaching because of what the others might do that I pray with. And he prayed with a soul that night. And he indicated, Carl, I'm just a little bit scared to say some of those things in the pulpit because they think they got to have the same thing I did. No, you've got to do what God is asking you to do. And your experience and my experience and Michael's experience, Brother Rodney's experience, is all different, praise God. But the bottom line, when you pray through and the power of God hits you, saves you, redeems you, you're saved. And that's all that matters, praise God. You need to move to the stirrings of the Spirit. Are you moving tonight? The Lord's working. He's working in LaRonger. I've been in one meeting right after another. I've been from coast to coast, north and south. And I'm going to tell you, folks, this has been one great, glorious summer. The blessings, the altar work, the messages from pastors and evangelists. I'm not saying evangelists because of me, but the bottom line is the Lord has worked in our meetings over and over and over from coast to coast. Powerful preaching out there. Starting from April and all the way up to now. It's been a good meeting. Already it's been good. But are you moving? Are you doing? Are you moving to the stirring? He's stirring. But are you moving to that stirring? Are you doing what He's asking you to do? Oh, He'll call in the night. He'll call in the day. But the bottom line is, are you kicking against the pricks? Are you moving to the stirrings? Are you saying, yes, Lord, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to be what God would have me to be. I want to get saved. I want to be sanctified. This thing covers this message. That covers everything that the plan has to offer. Every bit of it. Salvation, sanctification, divine healing. No matter what it is, God has it for you tonight. He wants you. As He stirs you, He's going to pinpoint. He's going to talk to you. He's going to work with you. Why do you think that king moved like he did? Because the Lord said, I want you to let my people go. I want you to let them go and build my temple. I want them to build it. And if you can't go, according to the commentator, there's some of them that won't leave Babylon. They set up pretty good down there, and they go stay down there. He said, if you don't go, you're to back them up. You're to give. You're to talk. You're to do all kinds of things. Whatever you can do, do it. I want my temple built. Praise God. All right, let's go to Haggai 1. Haggai 1. We'll start reading the 7th verse. Haggai 1 and 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I'll take pleasure in it and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You looketh for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. Now, then Zubriel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zebulun, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Is there not a cause? Is there not something to do? He said, I want you to go. I want you to consider your ways. I want you to think about this. I want you to be stirred up. But I want you to go up to the mountain. I want you to bring wood, and I want you to build a house. And I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. God is glorified when you and I are doing what He wants us to do. Souls are blessed when we're doing what we ought to do. Souls are hurt when we're not doing what we ought to do. I know of a minister one time, and loved this person dearly in the Lord. And they went into their town. They'd been out in services or whatever. I don't really remember all about that. But they were coming home one night, and the Lord told them, said, I want you to go to the hospital. And she goes, Lord, I don't know anybody in a hospital. He said, I want you to go to the hospital there in that town, small town, wasn't real big, close to where Brother Dan lived, Joplin. And she goes, but I don't know anybody in there. And he kept stirring her, and she kept kicking against the prick, so to speak, and she went on home. And she got home, she got a phone call. That phone call was, I believe it was one of her relatives was in the hospital near death. She regretted that from that day on. That person died before she could get back to the hospital. Listen, folks, tonight, when the Lord begins to work with us and stir us, Lord, help us to move then. Help us to do it then. There is people out there that want to put this thing off one way or another. And when you do, somebody can be hurt and somebody can die. Somebody can go out into eternity and not have you there to pray with them, to encourage them, to be with them at their last breath. I don't guess they had anybody there. And this minister would have been a great blessing to that person. And she let it be known. She said, I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And I messed up. All of us can do it. But I want to beg you tonight, when the Lord is stirring you, listen, there is a cause. There's work to do. Saints, ministers, teachers, preachers, pastors, evangelists, there's things out there for you and I to do. He wants us to build the church. He wants us to lift it up, encourage it, inspire it, preach to it, do all we can do to teach it and bless it. And the bottom line is, if we don't do that, we're going to leave some people hurt. But if we do it, the Lord's going to be glorified and He's going to be blessed. He's going to take pleasure in that. You and I need to be building. We need to be working. We need to be doing, saints, what we can do. Listen tonight. If the Lord is stirring you in something of the work of God, I want to encourage you to respond to that stirring. To do what God is wanting you to do. The Lord is wanting to call. Listen, there is ministers that have been around. Well, we're short of preachers, point blank. We're at the lowest amount of preachers that I know of in my ministry of 42 years now. We're at the lowest amount. We need all we can get. We need every teacher we can get. We need every singer we can get. We need people that's willing to clean and scrub the chapels and the dining halls and cook the food. We need all of that. We don't have anybody to lose. I want to tell you tonight, He said, I want you to build my church. I want you to build my house. I want you to do something. Don't sit around and twiddle your thumbs. It's time to get busy, folks. Because we don't know how long we've got. I'm looking on the... So Michael, while gone, I'm looking on the other side. And what I mean by that is I don't have much time left. I'm almost 65. And that ain't really old. And I want to go several more years, especially with a granddaughter now. I want to go. But the bottom line is this, is most of my life has been spent. And it went just like that. Somebody said, I'm young. I got plenty of time. Do you? There's a lot of teenagers in the cemetery. There's a lot of young married couples that's in the cemetery. There's a lot of middle-aged people in the cemetery. Do you have a lot of time? You don't know how much time you got. So consequently, you need to do it now. When God is stirring, that's the time to move. Because He knows what He wants you to do. He knows He can help you. He knows He can work with you. Listen, He knew if He could get a hold of Saul, that He could make a great firebrand out of him. And He did. Saul did a lot of things. But He's not the only one. You and I can be a blessing to people tonight too. Are you moving to the stirrings tonight? Are you allowing God to keep stirring you up? Are you building the church? Are you helping the church? He was a little upset there. He said, in the ninth verse, you looked for much and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house and his waste. In other words, they were going out doing their own thing. They were doing things to their own homes. They were building for that, and his house wasn't getting done what it needed to be. Now, there's a balance in all this. I'm not saying you can't work on your own house, but the bottom line is, they weren't balancing it right, and God wasn't happy with them. So he decided to do something about that. I called for a drought upon the land. And then he goes on down to the 12th verse, and he said there that then Zerubbabel, the spirit of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the spirit of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear. They begin to consider, they begin to weigh, they begin to think about, they begin to move to the stirrings of God. Listen tonight, our country is at the lowest point of fearing God that it's probably ever been in its time. Ain't not a lot of people fear God anymore. They just go on. If they feared God, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They wouldn't be out doing sin. They wouldn't be out doing corruption. They wouldn't be out doing all these things. So consequently, they begin to fear God. And he goes on down there, and then he said here in the 14th verse, and the Lord stirred them up. Oh, tonight, stirred them up. They got something done then. Oh, are you stirred tonight? Are you doing what God would have you to do? God works with every one of us individually. You're not me and I'm not you. And consequently, he has to work with everybody individual. He has to work with the natural gift. If they have a natural gift, he has to work with all of that. Tonight, are you allowing the Lord as He's stirring you? Are you moving to the dictates of that stirring? Let's go to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. We'll start reading about the fourth verse here. There's a lot of reading. I don't know if I want to read all this or not. But it says in the fourth verse, it says, "And Moses spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." Now he goes on down and he lists all the different things here. And talking about the things that they give and so forth. And the Lord, the people responded. And 20th verse here said, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willingly hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, goat's hair and red skins of rams and badgers and skins brought them. Everyone that did offer and offer silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in the wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of the work which the Lord had commanded to be by the hand of Moses." Now then, it goes on down in the 36th chapter, and a few verses. "Then brought Beziel and Aholib, and every wise hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Beziel and Oholib, and whose wise hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work and to do it. And they received of Moses all the offerings." Now listen to this. "Which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that brought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spoke unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." That is wonderful. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout all the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff that had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. They had more than enough. The Lord stirs people up. Now, when there was a tornado hit Monarch Campgrounds last spring, I was talking to a brother minister, and I said, "Well," I said, "I hear that they say that they can have a new tabernacle up by Monarch Meeting." And he goes, "Brother Carl," he said, "I just can't quite take that one in." Something like that. I said, let me put it to you this way. If the Gillenbecks say they can do it, it'll probably get done by the help of the Lord. And they done it. But listen, folks, it wasn't just them, or it wasn't just the Rimples, or it wasn't just the Gibsons, it was all of us. We all put our heart to that thing. And it raised thousands upon thousands. When Brother Mike gave the figures, I was astonished at what had happened. But you saw the results. It was because the people unified together. Listen tonight, when things need to be done, we must unify together as the stirrings of the Spirit with all of us. God works with all of us. He can say, well, I want you to give this much and you this much and so forth. And we might not be able to all give the same amount. But if we'll move as to the dictates and stirrings of the Spirit of God, I'm going to give this much, sweetheart. Fine, go for it, dear. And you give that. And the next man gives it. And the next man gives it. Listen, folks, tonight the women do their part. The men do their part. And as God works and the unity works together, hand upon hand and heart upon heart, listen, folks, great things can happen, praise God. Unity brings power, and power brings results. And tonight, if you and I will move, as God says, I want you to offer this, and it may not always be money, it may be you helping some way. But do it. It may be giving something of a minor something per se to you, but it's valuable to the work. Don't ever think that what you give, listen, when two mites was valuable in the eyes of God, the smallest thing you can do is valuable to God. So consequently, you and I tonight, what are we offering? What are we doing? What are we giving? How much are we giving? Are we moving? The bottom line of this part here is to move to the stirrings. God's stirring. I guess He stirred people all over the world. It wasn't just people all here in the country, but it's people overseas was moved to the stirrings of the Spirit. Listen, most of you, or a number of you here, all you young ones anyway, don't remember Brother Titus in you. He come from Africa over to Monarch and over here several years ago. And he was a powerful preacher. He done some powerful preaching and work. And the bottom line was, he was preaching what we taught. And where did he get all that? From the stirrings of the Spirit. God called and worked. He began to open up. Listen, Paul, he didn't go join up with the apostles right away after he got saved and had them take him to the school of the apostles and teach him. What did he do? He went out in the desert and spent time alone with God. Listen tonight, saints, you and I need to spend time alone with God and allow Him to take the offering that you and I can offer to God and take it and use it as God wants it to be used. Now, are we doing that? God's saying, I want you to do this, I'm wanting you to do that. That goes from handing tracts out and handing out papers. That goes to testifying. That goes to exhorting. That is anything you can do. Listen to that. I told him when I was pastor, I said, you preach to me on Wednesday night. Brother Michael needs some good preaching done to him every Wednesday night. And it's you all that can get up there. I carry things that God give out of the saints' mouth in Guthrie 20-something years ago, and I'm still blessed with what they said. They got them, they preached to me. They laid it out, and I got a hold of it. You need to lay it out and let everybody else get a hold of it. Bring that fruit. Bring that fruit, praise God. He preached about this morning. Bring it! And do the willings of God. And allow Him to use you to bless other people. We can all give the offering that we can give. All of us can give something. All of us can give something. All right, let's go to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark 16 and about the 14th. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and He upbraided them with their unbelief, hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. They preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Listen, tonight, the Lord is still working with his people and confirming it with signs following. He is still dealing in 2017. Some people say divine healing is past. I beg to differ with you, folks. I've seen the Lord do some stuff in the last several months that's astounded me. That's God. And it wasn't even people laying hands on the people and praying for them. They was doing unified prayer over the phone, and God done instant work. And they got a report back to me what the Lord had done. Wow. It was something. The Lord working. Listen, the Lord wants to use people. He said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Carl. You said you wouldn't go talk about preaching to preachers. Listen, tonight, you and I need to do what God wants us to do, and He needs some preachers in His work. I appreciate what's going on here. I appreciate what's going on over there. But like I said, there's not enough. There's not enough. And I'm getting older now, and I can't do what I used to, but I'm still trying to do some of it anyway. But the bottom line is, he said, go you into all the world. Every one of you has got a world that you can work in. Everyone's got a world that you can be a missionary in, even if you don't be a pulpit preacher like some of us here tonight. You can still go into your world and you can still preach, so to speak. You can give out. You can do the things that God would stir you up to do. You can give the scriptures. You can give the different things that the Lord wants you to give to them. He works with people. There was a little lady one time, needed some help. And she's waiting on Brother Warner to get back from an evangelistic run. And he finally got in. His wife told her, said, well, give him about a day to rest up, and then you come over and we'll talk with you. She got over there, and she was laying everything out to this Brother Warner and his wife. And Brother Warner was going like this. He was still too tired. He couldn't talk to her. He was too worn out. So the Lord had stirred up a little sister down the street. And He was stirring and working with her exactly what this other sister needed that was sitting in Brother Warner's house. So the sister finally got up and walked out the picket fence, turned down the sidewalk and got down to where the other sister lived. She said, come here, sister, I want to talk to you. And she come in and they sat down. And she said, you have some burdens and you have some needs. I don't know just how she said it. And said, the Lord's been working with me. He's been stirring me. He's been dealing with me. I want to help you. And that opened that sister up, and she poured out on her, and that sister gave her everything she needed. And she went away there with the victory after prayer. I can't do anything. Yeah, you can. It don't have to be Brother Michael or Brother Dan or Brother Rodney or me or Brother Marty. God can use anybody. He can stir them, feed them, bless them, lead them, guide them, and they can help people themselves. Praise God. Listen tonight. God wants you and I to do exactly. He wants you to go in all the world and preach the gospel. Listen tonight. You've got a world that you can work in. And you need to get saved and sanctified, and you need to move and do exactly as the callings of the dictates of the Spirit stirring you, and do that. Praise God. Oh, tonight, are you doing that? Are you praying for the sick? Are you going out and doing what the Lord would have you to do? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They speak with new tongues. And said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's still working today. Brother, I believe it was Rodney Davis. I didn't know him. But he was real sick when Sister Ed and him there. And the Lord dealt with a little sister, wasn't even a minister, and said, I want you to go pray for him. And he kept working with her and working with her. And so she, I guess, called him up, I believe, and said, can I come by? Sure. Come on by. And she went by and she spent a little time visiting with Sister Edna and Brother Rodney. Like I said, I never knew him, he died before I got saved. But she prayed for that man and God healed him. She wasn't no preacher. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, I'm not taking away from the ministry, and I don't want to take away from what is being said right here. But the bottom line is, I want to stir you up by the Spirit that you do what God wants you to do. There's things you can do. It's not just refined to one little cubicle of people. It's whatever God is stirring and moving. Great things has happened because God has stirred people up down through the years and they worked and done. Oh, today. All right, let's go to Acts 14 and 4. Acts 14 and 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. Now then, when the Lord gets to working, the devil don't go hide in a corner somewhere. You know who's the most persistent person to go to meeting? It's the devil. He shows up all the time. And he does all kind of little things and big things if he can pull it off. All the way from children getting sick in service. All the way from other things. Seen one night, there was a young lady in a revival, in a camp meeting back in the West. And message went forth and she was standing there trembling under conviction. And the devil sent a little child along about 5 years old, 4 years old, and looked up at this young lady, and this young lady looked down at her, and the little girl threw up her hands, and that girl picked her up and hugged her, and I watched her conviction walk right away. I don't know, I wondered what happened to that young lady. Beautiful young lady. And the conviction left. The devil works in every way he can. I'm saying tonight, the devil's going to stir some things up too if he can, and you and I need to be on our wise discernment that we know when devil is working that we hold a resistance against that. You need to pray much, saints. You need to pray before every service. You need to be begging God on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday night and revival meetings and camp meetings. You need to be begging God, Lord, help us now. We need You now. Every service is valuable to God. There could be souls hanging in the balance, and the devil does not want those souls to get saved and get delivered and to be blessed, and he's going to do everything he can to shut that thing down. And you and I are going to have to stand against it. He stirred things up. The Lord blessed, but the devil kept working too. He didn't just go off and hide. When God was pouring it on, the devil didn't go hide somewhere. Brother Sammons was in a meeting down in South Carolina, Ridgeville. He said one night he was preaching real hard, and when he slowed down, he got to listen to something over here on his right. He said he looked over there at that man, he was barking like a dog. I was in a tent meeting out near Gallup, New Mexico one time on an Indian reservation. And Brother Egbert and I and Mark Snell had gone to Pacoima and was coming back. And we seen this great big old tent and we stopped. And Brother Egbert, he said, I want to go talk to him. I said, all right. So we went and talked to him. The man invited us to come preach. And I was so shocked, I was speechless, so to speak. So we got in the car and went back to Gallup and got us a motel. And I told Brother Egbert, I said, well, I don't know about you. Mark said, I don't know about you. But said, he and I didn't have no message. Brother Egbert said, I do. And he got up there and preached. And those people believed in tongues, and speaking in tongues. And that evangelist preacher that was there with them, he lined them up. He brought them up there and he would slap them here and he'd slap them there and he'd start praying for them and they'd fall out on the floor jerking and shaking. That happened over and over. Some people come to the altar And we were over here, the three of us was over here, and over here there was, a woman come up. Anyway, Mark Snell told me later, it got so eerie, our spirits were so repelling against it that we got up and left. And Mark told me, said, "Did you all hear that woman barking like a dog?" Now, some people say, just go the choice of your church and do this and do that. I warn you, there's spirits out there that do everything they can to you if you let them. It's my wise advice to you to stay away from that stuff and come to this church, the Church of God. Being evening light services. Anyway, I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Carl, she was barking like a dog over there." Brother Salmon said that man was barking like a dog. Another service, Brother Salmons was looking. He said he saw evil spirits looking at every window of that chapel. He said him and Sister Verna went to fasting and praying. He said God got the blessing and work. Well, had been blessing and working, but kept on. He said we baptized a number. People got saved and sanctified and baptized and blessed and healed. Listen, folks, when you and I start working for God, the devil's going to show up and he's going to do everything he can to shut it down. But that don't mean you and I are off base. That means the devil is stirred up to try to stop it. You and I plow straight ahead. You and I do exactly what God is stirring us up to do. Because, folks, if there wasn't no opposition to this thing, sometimes it'd almost be too easy. But Lord, help us tonight to do the stirrings of the Lord, to do the things that He wants us to do. All right, let's go to 2 Peter. Time's getting away. I don't want to hold it real, real late. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. Got about three or four scriptures here I want to talk to us about, and then I'm going to quit. 2 Peter 1 and 12. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Now, sometimes you may question why pastors do what they do. Our evangelists do what they do, what we say, what we do. But I'm going to tell you, there's one thing that we're stirred to do, and that is to stir you up to have all of this in remembrance. I want to encourage the mothers and the grandparents of children tonight that you teach your children the doctrines of the Church of God. Of the Bible. Not just the Church of God, but the Bible doctrines. Get the books that teach it. Read it. Study it. Know it yourself. But get your children in knowledge of that. Because listen, we can stir you and stir you and stir you. He had a reason. "I want you to know this because I'm going off the scene. I'm the oldest one in here as far as the ministers. Where I'm going to step off the scene, Brother Michael, one of these days. I'm going to be out of here. Maybe some of you might come to my funeral. But the bottom line, I'm out of here before long. I'm going on the way. The bottom line is, we want you to be stirred, to learn, to get a hold of." Sometimes the ministers repeat things over and over and over. Why do we do it? So you get a hold of it. You can't retain everything in an hour's message. You can't get a hold of everything. You can get here, there, and different things. You can get what the Lord wants you for there. Then the Lord comes back again and repeats it again and again and again. He may use two or three preachers. Brother Mike can be preaching things for weeks before us get here. And we can come in and nail it one time right after another. Everything he'd been preaching, we're backing it right up full steam ahead. Listen, it helps you to get the idea. This is what God wants me to do. It's stirring me. It's helping me to know that God wants me to have this. Oh, he said, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." I still want you to keep it in mind. I want you to be solid and established. All right. Brethren, if we got a work to do and we got to use some cement, you got to do some stirring. The Rimples own the Rimples Rockin' Ready, Prague, Oklahoma. They now got a place in Shawnee also. But in Prague there, I've not been to the new place, But in Prague upstairs, there's a place there that Christy Rimple, she would go in there, and the big old trucks would pull up under it where they fill the trucks up, and they would tell her, now we're going to have this many yards and want this strength and so forth, and it's her business to push in all the right degrees in this panel. It's got all this stuff, and then it puts it in the truck, and the truck starts stirring that stuff up. All right, you take that cement, and you take it and you make a slab floor out of it. What can you do with it? You can build on it. You can eat on it, so to speak. You can live on it. It can be a blessing to you for years. You can take cement, you can set it in place, and it'll help hold things, position things. There's a lot of monuments in cemeteries. What's under them big old monuments? Cement. They're holding those monuments up. Memorial markers, or whatever you want to call them. Listen, that helps set things in place. This helps set things in place. You need it cemented in your heart, your mind. You need it written by the power of God on the fleshly tables of your heart, whereby when you get older and older, you're not backing off from it, but you're getting more and more and more. Oh, well, I don't need that. Yeah, you do too, because the devil ain't died yet. And he's not going to die, and he's going to always be around to try to pull you back or to hinder you in any way he can, whereby you will slip something somewhere, somehow. Maybe not have it as fresh in mind. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 1. 2 Peter 3 and 1. Said this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there came in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. That's basically backing up. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy. I want 2 Timothy 1, 5. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Yeah, if I get to the right book and read right. All right, 2 Timothy 1, 5 said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now this again is Paul writing to Timothy this time here. And he's saying, there's in thee which dealt first in thy grandmother Lois, in their mother Eunice, and persuaded there's in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God had given not us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Now, this is talking to Timothy as a minister. He said there that, I want to put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, one place I had that I skipped over was Acts the 17th chapter, where Paul on Mars Hill, he said he looked at all the idolatry and he was stirred. I want to ask you tonight, when you see all this corruption around us, does it stir you up? Not wrongly now, but does it stir you to try to want to help somebody? I was standing in a cathedral in Washington, D.C., I believe the Washington Cathedral up there, and standing there, and I was watching those people, and I wanted to get up there and tell them truths about our hurt. I want to let them know, listen, you can be delivered. You don't have to count beads and do this and do that. You can have salvation, if you will, and you can make it to heaven, praise God. You can be blessed and have power and have authority. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to do all this penance stuff with a priest. You can live for God, praise God. You can have a great high priest, one that will bless you over and over and over. I stood there. I was stirred because of what I was seeing. Is this corruption around us stirring you? If it's not, I advise you to get to the altar and let the Lord help you get something to stir you up. Help you to get a closeness with Him. That sin and corruption that's out there will stir you. Now then, this right here. I know what He's talking about here. That thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Well, I want to challenge you tonight. For those of you that are stirred up, how'd you get stirred up? Those of you that's got a calling, God gave you the calling, but you've got to keep stirred all the rest of your lives. I'm not saying it's got to be every second of every day. You've got to be on a fireball, so to speak. But the bottom line is, you've got to be in a position that God can use you and bless you, move you, and you're ready at a moment's notice to go do what God says you do. Listen, when a policeman goes on duty, he's ready right then to give his life. A soldier's ready right then to give their life. They put those uniforms on and they go out. Let me tell you something. There was a young man that was gunned down, a policeman, in the town of Tecumseh, south of where we live. And on that night or that day, when that man shot that man, the call went out, and my daughter was one of the ones that was there. When the call goes out, officer down, those people that work as a paramedic, they can't move fast enough to get to that person. Listen tonight, you and I can't move fast enough to work for God. There is times that's urgent. There is times that needs to be. Listen, and to do that, you and I have to be stayed stirred up. We don't want to sit there and say, "No, Lord." And like that minister, she said, "Well, I don't know anybody in the hospital." Got her in trouble too. You and I need to stay stirred. And you do that by what? What do you do that to stay stirred up for God? Reading the Bible? That help a little bit? Yeah. Reading good old time books? I'm going to tell you, go back and read some of them in D.S. Warner. I'm not talking about the ones they've written about the Bible doctrines. I'm talking about the life. And Brother Fred Pruitt and some of them. Read them. And some of the fireballs that had, listen, God has had great movements of evangelism down through the years here in the United States and over in England and various places. And the reason He had it is because people got stirred up to do something for God. People that went out, there was a man that actually prayed in hollow logs for hours at a time. And he prayed and he prayed and God moved. Great numbers of people got saved. Great numbers of people got help. But they were stirred up, and God worked in their camps. And as He worked, they began to respond to the stirring. Listen, you need to read these things. You need to get in there and study the Bible. You need to study the doctrines. You need to study the different things about Paul and the Acts of the Apostles and allow that to stir you and keep you stirred, praise God. Go to meeting. You get stirred up in meeting. Now, I say this in love to every pastor in here, because I've been there. But I heard him last week and the week before and the week before that. You need to go prayed up, fired up, and say, "Thank you, Lord, for that pastor." And thank Him at the back door when you go out for that message. Because listen, folks, today, if you and O go in the right frame of mind and the right spirit, God will bless you. God will stir you. I want something. I want what they've been timed. That the Lord has stirred up people in the congregation. And a pastor come in and preach the very same thing they had in their teaching. You and I need to be stirred. Are we stirred tonight? Are we stirred that no matter what He gives? Are you reading enough? Are you studying enough? Are you praying enough? Are you fasting enough? Are you in meeting enough? Seem like people, "Oh, well, I don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need to go to service here and there and do this and do that." Do you? You want to stay stirred? You need to be where the Spirit of God is stirring things up. And it's right in the services that we have. One man made a statement one time. He was a businessman in a certain town. And he, because of the woman he had married, she's a good woman, I know her. She's a good woman. But she was of another belief and denomination, or a denomination. And he told the pastor of the Church of God there, he said, "I've been in 50 different congregations in this town." And he said, "They ain't nothing like what the saints have got right here." Listen, folks, this is different. This has got power. Brother Marty was preaching last night, and I thought back about an incident many, many years ago. Another older minister and I was having a meeting in a place, and there was a grandmother brought her granddaughter. She was about 18, 19, best I remember, a very fine-looking young lady, and brought her, and she was wide-eyed. I don't remember what all happened in the service. It wasn't out of order by any means. I don't know who preached. I don't know what was preached. But he told me later, he said, "I may be wrong, Carl, but she's never seen anything like this." That comes because of the stirring of the Spirit. Let's stand. Let's have a number. Appreciate your time, your interest, your prayers tonight. Are you stirred? Has God been stirring you before this meeting? Are you moving exactly like He wants you to during the meeting? Are you doing the things He wants you to do? Whether it be in the meeting, outside of the meeting, He's stirring you up to visit people. He's stirring you up to invite people. He's stirring you up to give tracts to people. Are you doing that? Are you doing what the stirrings of the Spirit is saying, I want you to do? Pray for me. I want to move to the dictates of the Spirit.